Anyway, now that I'm crying, let's start the podcast.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Bess.
And this is Still Worse Than You Remember,
the podcast where we watch all of your favorite childhood movies and tell you why they're definitely worse,
or sometimes better,
than you remember.
Anyways, I'm Austin.
That was too gay. I need you to tone it down.
Ding dong, I'm Austin. I only listen to gay podcasts now. I just listen to Las Culturistas.
To prep?
Yeah, just to prep, to pre-prep, to douche. I just play the podcast up my butthole and it cleans it out. That's how they start. They go, ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Oh, they do.
So I think we could just steal that. Just be like, ding dong, worse than you remember calling. No one will know.
Can we have the audacity to call it an homage, even though we're blatantly stealing it? If we call it an homage, it's like, at least we respect you and we respect the fact that we're stealing
but we
this
have
review.
To we have to pronounce homage wrong and we have to call it homage. That way it's like we say it, we're also stupid, but also we're still doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's multi-layered, like a croissant. Hi ho, hi ho, it's off to work I go. Disney Channel movie.
I think that's just a Disney movie.
Yeah, they never played Cinderella on Disney Channel.
That's not Cinderella.
I know it's Sleeping Beauty. I'm just kidding. I know it's Snow White and her seven hornies.
Only about three of them were horny. The rest of them had never had an orgasm in their entire lives.
Which three? Which three?
Doc, for sure.
Is horny.
Oh, no. Doc is asexual. The three that are horniest are Dopey, even though he looks like a child and that really stresses me out. Hang on, crap. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what all of them are.
What do you mean you can't remember how all of them are? I could name all of them yesterday.
Do it. Name all of them right now.
Okay. Dopey, Sneezy, Sleepy, Grumpy, Happy, Doc, Bashful.
See, I would have never remembered Bashful.
Bashful's the best one.
Bashful is a twink, now that I'm really looking at him.
Yeah, Bashful is a twink. I was gonna say Bashful is horny.
Bashful is horny. I feel like Dopey is horny, but he doesn't know why. Like, that's just his state of existence all the time.
I have trouble with calling Dopey horny because, like, is he, you know, like...
Is he a child?
Does he have the mental capacity to know what horny is?
You're right. This is an inappropriate conversation. Dopey. And then... the third one's hard. I'm really gonna have to go with Grumpy on this one.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason, you know?
He's grumpy because he's so horny.
Exactly. And he has to look at this beautiful woman all day. He's like, I can't do anything.
Yeah. Bashful's an easy one because, like, the blood rushes to his face from his penis, like, obviously. And then definitely Grumpy.
Maybe I changed my mind. Maybe Doc is the third.
No, I agree. When you said Doc first, I was like, Doc is horny to you? I don't think Doc is horny. So I think you're right. It might just have to be Dopey. I just, that's so tricky. That's so tricky.
It feels like saying it's Dopey sounds so creepy, but I think I'm correct.
Yeah, I think that's just what we got to go with. And you know what? If the haters have a problem with that, well, then they are our motivators.
Please tweet at us what you think the three horniest seven dwarves are. We'd love to hear your opinions. We'd love to hear your arguments. If any of you work for Disney, I would love for you to speak on behalf of the company and let us know what your official public statement is.
Yeah, or just like, we don't have to make it public if you don't want, but like, I know that Disney has the list of their hornies, and I would just like to know who the three horniest dwarves are.
Do you think they could tell us who the three horniest characters are in the entire, like, Disney canon?
I mean, yeah, they have a running list.
Oh, no, I know they do. I just want to know if they'd make it accessible to the public, you know?
Who do you think are the three horniest characters in Disney canon?
So I feel like I'm not remembering all of, like, I feel like there's definitely people I'm forgetting. So, okay. Three horniest? What's the dragon's name for Mulan?
That's fucking crazy that is literally, that was my number one.
Seriously?
Mushu was my number one. Mushu was my fucking number one. And I don't know why, because he's not that horny, but he just is horny.
That was my first thought, is that his name was Mushu. And I thought, no, it can't be that racist. That is not correct. Like,
it is.
Okay, so it definitely him. I want to say like Ursula.
Ooh, interesting. I could see that. I could see that.
I don't know that I have a third.
I haven't seen the movie that he's in, but this is just the energy I get from him. Is every time I see Flynn Rider, I see horny.
Oh, yes.
Is he horny?
Oh, no. Sorry. Not Flynn Rider. Gaston.
Yeah, but he's not fun horny.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a subcategory to this conversation.
Well, yeah, like if we want to be like, oh, who's the horniest? It's the fucking priest guy from Hunchback of Notre Dame. But that's not fun horny. That's like scary horny.
That's predator horny. That's not cute.
Yeah, exactly. So like, yeah, he's the horniest because he is like, oh, I'm fucking feeling the sexy flames of hell. Just kidding. That's my penis.
Anyway, hi, welcome back to Worse Than You Remember. This podcast is definitely worse than you remember because we haven't posted in 3 or 4 months. I don't know if you want to talk about this at the end or at the beginning, but you wanted to talk about an episode of ours that you feel like deserves way more love than she's gotten.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into this before we get into our episode, just because let's handle our business at the front and then we can party in the back. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Why is our just a peek behind the curtain? For all you lovely listeners up there, our least listened to episode by like a lot is episode 4, Sharpay's Fantabulous or whatever the fuck adventure. Like every other episode has like reached around the same level. Some of our earlier ones are a little bit lower, but you know, as they go, it's still, you know, high, except for Sharpay.
Every episode has double the amount of listens that Sharpay's does, which is weird.
Literally double. Some are like most listened to one is like closer to triple. It's crazy. And I don't understand because that was one of the first episodes where we were like having fun and like, this is like a good movie. Not a good movie. It was terrible. But like, where we're like, we had a lot of fun making it.
Also, do you remember when we put stuff about that on social media? Those were the ones that performed really well.
It blew up on social media. That is why I'm so confused. Is like that post got so much engagement and that's like our least listened to episode. And I'm like, why? That just defies logic. That just defies all fucking logic.
So this is our PSA. Go listen to Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure if you haven't done so already. That's probably, is that your favorite episode?
No, it's not my favorite episode, but it's up there. It's a good episode and it deserves more love.
Okay. Well, that's our PSA. I think that's the only business we really needed to handle before we get into this episode.
Oh, no, we got some more business, honey. No, we got a history lesson to feed the children.
Oh, that's right. Duh. Okay.
Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there was no global pandemic. It was 2019. Elizabeth Warren was still running for president. Things were pretty good. I mean, they were terrible, but, you know, things were fine.
We had the illusion that they were okay. The movie that we're going to talk about today was actually the very first episode of the podcast that we ever tried to record. And it went so poorly that we didn't even finish the episode. We just stopped halfway through because we were like, we need to shut up. This is so bad.
Did we really not even finish it?
We did not even finish it. Because remember, we came out and Liam was sitting on the couch and he was like, oh, you guys are done already? We were like, no, don't talk to us about it.
Well, we got too drunk during it.
We got too drunk and we were also still so confused as to like what kind of tone we were going for and what we could say and what we couldn't say and how we wanted to come across. Whereas now we're just like, fuck it. But yeah, we were way too self-conscious. It was 100% the first pancake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was thrown out. We were gonna originally redo this episode as our 100th episode, as like a little special and be like, oh, and we were going to release that like clips of the original as like a look how far we came.
Yeah.
But then when we were deciding to restart the podcast and we did the RNG, it just happened to come up and I was like, oh, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
We kind of have to do that.
This is our redemption episode.
This is our redemption episode. 84 episodes early or 86 episodes early.
But we're going to have a great time because this movie was a trip. Even though I watched it 6 months ago, I had forgotten that I watched it 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I feel like I had so much more to say this time around than I did before.
I pulled up my old notes and I like wrote with them. So like if I was like, oh, I don't care about that anymore, I took the note off. But I was adding so much because I was like, what is happening?
This movie is crazy. Happening? Okay, so for those of you who haven't seen The 13th Year, it literally is the story of a teenager who ends up turning into a merman when he turns 13, which, yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's really all there is to say.
When did this movie come out?
1999.
Of course it did. It feels very 1999.
It does, doesn't it? Pre-9/11.
Oh. What really bothered me was like, this was a very poorly made movie, and DCOMs had been around for like a while at this time, but even just like the acting was so bad. And listen, all children's content and Disney Channel acting is cringy to an extent, but this was like you were watching a video that was parodying actors.
I mean, here's the thing is there's no excuse when it's like, oh, when did it come out? Because 1999 was also Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century,
oh,
and Smart House,
oh,
Johnny Tsunami. Like, there's no excuse. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there was a learning curve or whatever. Like, this was just a bad movie.
But do you know what I mean? Like, every single actor in this movie did a bad job.
Yes, abso-fucking-lutely, I agree.
Like, Dave Coulier, why was he in this? He had to have been like one of the top billed like cast members of this particular movie. And he was the worst one. He was the worst one. Like, there were just so many notes in here where I just write cringe and I write the character's name next to it because I'm like, really? That was your best take? That's your best. Interesting.
It felt like one take the whole way through. It really did.
Yeah.
That is so apt.
And you know that they, and like the mermaid CGI too, you know they really thought they were doing something.
It stars true one-hit wonder, this being the one hit, Chez Starbuck.
What a name.
What a name.
And then Isn't the guy who plays Jess, wasn't he in The Sandlot or something? He looked very familiar.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He's in The Sandlot.
And then Dave Coulier from Full House, as we all know, Uncle
and
Joey.
Fuller House, don't leave that out.
We should leave that out. It is a travesty. I've watched like 3 seasons of it, so I can say that.
I know, me too.
So this movie starts and we do get an establishing shot. We get some nice water town shots. We love that.
Great water.
We love to see it. And watching this again really, really, really made me wish, and I wish this all the time, that I could have watched it. You know how on Spotify you can like change the speed of the podcast you're listening to or whatever? Or on Audible, mm-hmm, you can do the same thing. I wanted that option for this because it takes so long.
Ass. I had the same thought where I was like, I wish there was a way I could do a 1.5 right now.
Yeah. Some things you just have to get through. And that's how I felt this whole time.
I think on a 1.5, this movie would go up like 2 points. Because part of the reason it's so bad is, and that's going up from like a 1 to a 3, don't get me wrong, but like it would go up so much more because so much of why this movie is bad is we're just like lollygagging around, taking our sweet time. Oh, look at that boy in the pool. We should all stand around and watch him drown. That would be a fun afternoon. That's like fast compared to how fast the movie goes. I'm just saying.
Do you think that this movie actually moves slowly, or do you think that you and I were just like so conditioned to watching like shorter form content that moves a lot faster? Or a mix of both?
Because I've been watching a lot of movies lately, so I'm very movie oriented in the moment. And so I don't think it's that. I think there are DCOMs that get right into it. I mean,
true.
Yes, some get too quickly into it because they just pop in. But like there's a middle ground between like jumping in and having like 10 minutes of swimming in the water while a dude looks at a sonar fish finder, which is the name on.
Let's talk about the sonar fish finder. How does this man have that kind of technology? Or is that just something that is easily accessible to people and I don't know it?
I don't think that that's technology that exists, sweetie.
Okay, see, that's what I thought as well.
I know sonar exists for like ships and shit.
Yeah.
But like a sonar fish finder, there's a lot of fish.
Like you would have a sonar thing if you were like in a submarine or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I can't imagine a dude with a sonar fish finder that's just like picking up every fish that goes past. I can't. I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
The guy on the boat also, who we find out is Jess's dad, he's wearing like a red cap pretty much the whole movie. Did you also think it was a Trump hat? Like, yes. Just
he invented the MAGA hat because the words on it are like home sweet something or whatever. I don't know. But like it is like spaced out in a way where it very much looks like it. And it is like I can't look at red hats. Like red hats aren't in media anymore because of that. But
really?
And so like whenever I see, when was the last time you saw a red hat anywhere in any media?
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just kind of now noticing that you're correct.
Yeah, they can't. You like literally can't because the image is too repulsive.
Yeah, because when I saw that, I knew. I like it took me a second, but I knew in my heart that it wasn't a MAGA hat, but instantly I disliked this character because my mind made that correlation before my brain did. My mind made that correlation before my brain did. That sentence didn't make sense. It's fine. I'll edit it out.
I knew what you meant.
And we have him in his ship. He's going through the water. The mermaid is swimming through the water. Cody's mom. And he... So it looked like they were genuinely doing these shots, like, underwater. Like, with a small child underwater. And I was like, this is not safe if this is how you did that. But okay.
I 100% believe that is how they did it, too. Because
you can tell. You can tell when they manufactured all these other shots in the movie. It's very apparent because they're so poorly done. I'm like, have you seen that video of how they teach babies how to swim where they just like throw them in the water and they learn how to float on their backs?
Yeah.
This is so terrifying, but I mean, it works, so it's fine. But that's how I felt the whole time. I was like, you just did this, didn't you? You were like, it's going to be fine. His mom said it's fine. She signed a waiver.
Yeah. Like, she probably did, and that baby's dead now, so.
Okay, so she puts the baby in the parents' boat. Does she just do that because Jess's dad saw her?
I think so. I was trying to think about this, because there's a lot about the beginning of this that is, like, crazy, and we'll get into it as we keep going. But I think that she put the baby away so that she could make the dude crash, which she does.
Uh-huh.
Which I like that because it is very, like, mythological mermaid bringing, like, sailors to their doom, you know?
She puts the baby in the separate boat so she can make Jess's dad crash, or that's...
I think so. I think that's her plan because, like, maybe she's thinking, oh, if he saw I had a baby, he would want the baby or something. I don't know, you know? Like, that's the only thing I can think of. Which, by the way, this baby has human legs. Why?
I don't know.
We don't know enough about the mythology of mermaids to explain why the baby has human legs.
We needed a whole origin story on this mermaid in order to understand how we got to this point.
Here's something else I want to talk about.
Yes.
It's maybe skipping ahead a little bit.
That's okay.
But it has to do with what's happening right now. When the movie jumps ahead 13 years, oh, now it's his 13th birthday, because that's the day they found him. But does that mean he was literally born on this day that she's, like, carrying him around and then drops him on a boat?
That's what I thought, too, because there's no way that, like, logically, he would just have been carried around his entire life by this mermaid. Like, the way she was carrying him didn't make any sense. I was like, this is just inconvenient for you to have a child in the ocean. So what was she doing prior? I thought about that also.
But like, if she just gave birth, shouldn't her like fish gyna be like in some sort of pain or?
She laid an egg, actually. Mermaids don't get pregnant. Oh, they're fish.
Hatched.
They're fish. They lay eggs. I'm just making this up.
No, I mean, I buy that. That makes sense. Let's do a quick origin story. Let's see.
Okay.
So she laid some eggs, as she does every month, because she's a fish.
Yeah.
But there's no mermans, so no one can, you know, fertilize her fishes. That is, until 1986, the invention of masturbation.
Are you saying, sorry, is what you're getting at that someone masturbated into the ocean and somehow the sperm came and found one of her eggs?
God, I'm so glad you said it so I didn't have to, because that was going to have to come out of my mouth and I was dreading it.
How long do sperm live again? In a woman's body, they can live, would it be
45 years.
Yes. Would it be too cold in the ocean, though, for them to get there? Because don't they need to survive in a warm climate, body, etc.?
Depends on what coast they're on. So watch out, fellas, because you can have some mer babies out there.
They're going to come find you when they turn 13.
Yep. Keep that stuff out the ocean.
Keep our oceans clean.
Keep our oceans clean.
This has been a PSA.
Yeah, it really has.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so one quick note about this whole scene and then we can move on. The guy in the boat is yelling at her, "Hey, you're beautiful." And it reminds me of when you get drunk and every woman you see on the street, you're just like, "Oh my God, you are amazing. Is he respecting you? Are you respecting her?" That's how it felt to me. It was that same energy.
It's very that energy. I miss that so much.
I miss going outside. I miss being around people. I miss being intoxicated around strangers in a safe way.
In a safe, specifically in a way where I'm like, I get to compliment, not even compliment, but just like yell at women and make sure that their male partners are respecting them.
You are truly the original feminist ally.
I was. They gave me a medal for it and I lost it.
So we meet the family. We meet I don't even know what their names are. It's just Cody's parents.
Who just kidnap a baby. Right? Like, we can talk about this. Like, they kidnap him.
So she puts the baby in this little like basket thing. I don't know. And the mom's first thought is, "Can we keep him?" And I'm like, "He's not a puppy. Call fucking CPS. Like, you have to report that. Somehow, some way, somewhere."
Like, full-on Superman syndrome. This movie is like three superhero origin stories done poorly.
So they literally snatch this baby from the sea, apparently feel no remorse about it, but apparently neither does this mermom, because
she just watches it happen.
She watches it happen, and it reminds me of that TikTok audio that's like, "Oh, she passed away? Aww." And then you move on. We skip forward 13 years, and he's helping his dad run the tourism boat, and we just kind of get a little insight as to what the family's like now. They're very dysfunctional. They're very white.
Oh, very, so white. This whole movie. Is there a person of color in this movie?
Oh my God, is there? I don't think there is.
I don't think so.
There's no one. There's no kind, no color
like,
whatsoever.
Not a background cop, not anything, yeah.
I like how when we're on the boat, though, we have a vintage Karen sighting. And you have that old woman who's running around yelling at him that they're 20 minutes late. And I just immediately hated her because I've watched too many videos of too many women being rude to service workers and it made me upset.
"I paid $5 for this ticket. And you know what? There's not even snacks on this boat, okay? And if I wanted to pay $5 and not have a snack, do you know what I would do? I would give it to my grandson because he doesn't ever give me snacks." Where am I?
That was her. That's my impression of her.
That was actually, I think, verbatim what the script said. So that was really great.
Pretty close. Yeah.
And anyway, so he runs off the boat because he realizes he's late for what I would like to call regionals.
It's regionals. Yes.
Is it regionals?
It's got to be regionals because state is next.
Swims to the water to get to regionals. And when we get there, first of all, their swim coach is being too touchy-feely with these half-naked teens.
Thank you. Thank you. See, we're on the same page with this. He is so handsy. He is so handsy in his fucking suit. No coach would ever wear a suit in a swim meet. Do you know how humid and fucking disgusting those pools are?
I have a question for you, too, because you were on a swim team in high school.
I was co-captain.
Okay, so first question. Would they actually have held the race for him the way they do in this movie?
They would not have held it for him. They might have paused if he was like at the door. He's like, "Wait, I'm here." They might have went ahead and held it for him then. You know what I mean?
Okay. I have more questions later on when we get to the actual state finals, because a lot of stuff about that didn't make any sense. But
yeah,
he runs in, decides to do the race. wins his race. Wait, does he win his race or just Sean
second
beat him?
Place.
So he got second place. But they're still going to the state finals, so it's fine.
And also, like, we already know what's going on. We already know that, like, he's part mermaid, so none of this is interesting.
We meet his rival, Sean, who is a twink, first of all.
Sean and Cody. Sean and Cody of Boy Meets World fame.
Wait, you're so right.
I know.
I forgot. I never watched that show, like, religiously. I've seen it a couple of times, but it was never, like, one of my favorites, so I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach does this abysmal fake cry because he's so proud and his life is so sad.
That was one of the moments where I was like, the actors in this are not trying at all.
If anything, I think Sean was the best actor, and he wasn't even in the movie that much.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Wow, we're so together today.
Yeah, we're really feeling the fantasy, because yeah, Sean is the only person who I had any interest in. Maybe Jess a little bit.
Oh, I love Jess. Jess is the true hero of this story.
Jess should have been the protagonist.
He should have been.
We'll get into that later.
So this is actually when we meet Jess, because he has his tuba and falls into the pool because he trips.
And these people are about to just let him die.
Nobody cares that he's drowning. The coach says, like, what a hindrance it is or something. And it's so rude.
He's like, get this nerd out of my pool is like literally what he says.
He's wearing an instrument that is bigger than he is because he's a very small kid. And
child.
You know, of course, Cody comes in, saves him.
Very relaxed, though. Cody's not like, oh, I gotta save him. He's like, I'll get him. And he, like, leisurely jumps in the pool and swims over. Meanwhile, Jess is screaming, like, help me, I can't swim. Help me, I can't swim. And then the coach is like, see, this is what happens. When what? That's the beginning of a sentence. Yeah, like, this is what happens when a kid who doesn't know how to swim falls in a pool and no one helps him as he drowns. This is what happens. Yeah, fucking, you're right, coach.
And they were like, why were you walking that close to the water? And I was like, first of all, have you ever walked near a pool? It is slippery as hell. Have you ever walked near a pool while you are wearing, like, a 50-pound instrument? Shut the fuck up. I don't know how big tubas are. That could be wildly out of proportion.
Tubas are 900 pounds.
Wow. How does anybody ever wear one?
Carefully.
And then we switch over to Jess's dad with all the other fishermen on the dock. And the only thing I really wrote about this is, you know, all of these fishermen would support Trump's second term.
Absolutely. Also, they are all acting like he is some crazy conspiracy nut, which, first of all, he's not. And we know that because we saw it.
And his attitude is so above all the rest of them. Like, he's not being rude.
He's so rational. No, he's so rational. He's not like, I saw it. I know it's true. And you're all going to see one day. He's just like, well, there's no such thing as mermaid bait. But good joke, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably not going to catch one, Dave, because you don't believe in them. And I haven't. And I do. But I'm going to keep looking. And in the meantime, I'm going to do my job.
He does get crazy at the end. He gets a little weird and manic. But yeah, I was like, quit making fun of him.
He gets weird and manic because it becomes too real for him. And
yeah.
But and in this moment, he is like completely rational and does not deserve the abuse he's getting.
Yeah. Then we spent Cody. He's at school. We apparently him and is her name Susie?
Sam. It's Sam.
Yes. Sam is literally the worst character in this entire movie. And here's a list of reasons why.
Calling her a character is excessive, but go on.
It is excessive. She is so toxic. She's so toxic. Her friend kind of kicks this off because Sam's like, oh my gosh, he's really sweet. And she goes, who cares about sweet? He's the most popular guy in school. And I said, first of all, you guys held hands, according to my knowledge, one time. And all of a sudden you're dating. Let's unpack that. Second of all, the fact that you would literally just be dating someone, I don't care how old you are, the fact that you would be quote unquote dating someone just for their status is not cute. We don't support it.
Mm-mm. Oh, before that, though, I was going to say before that, I already was writing Team Sean, Cody sucks. Why is Cody so popular? Because he walks into school and everyone's like, hey, Cody, good race yesterday. You really nailed it, man.
Who does that?
Who does it, first of all? Second of all, he came in second. Like, he lost to Sean, who also is right there next to him, and no one is saying shit to him. Like, Sean does not deserve this bullshit, and it's fucked up.
I think Sean's anger is deserved. I think Sean's hatred of Cody is very deserved.
He's suffering abuse at home, probably, and he is not seen for his talent at school, clearly. Like, Sean is so troubled and so misunderstood, and it's just fucking criminal.
I hate that this is, again, another DCOM where we absolutely hate the main character. Not hate, but feel...
Hate the main character.
I don't hate him, but I feel very indifferent towards him, which is almost more annoying.
Oh, I hate him, because then he does the thing that will get me to hate any DCOM character, any TV show character in high school, is that they disrespect the teacher. And that we've talked about this on the podcast before, but that is a one-way ticket to getting me to not relate to a character. Yeah, like, fuck authority, but, like, teachers don't deserve your shit. Teachers are heroes.
Especially now. All teachers are heroes. We support you. We love you. You're doing the Lord's work.
The class also lasted 2 minutes long because we see them walking into class, and then she gives the announcement about their project, and then class ends.
Oh my God, you're right.
Like, it's the craziest thing. I know that it's, like, hard when you're doing a school thing.
But there wasn't even, like, a transition.
No, at all.
And he's paired up with Jess for their marine biology assignment. So he invites him to his birthday party. And at the birthday party, we have... Okay, so, like, did you notice that, like, once they cut the cake, there's just this weird moment where the parents are eating the cake and, like, making noises at each other? And it's very uncomfortable.
Yes, the parents are fucking weird.
They're weird people. Well, his mom is anti-vax. We'll get there, but...
Yeah, we will get
there. She's insane. But then... We get to the most iconic part of the movie, which is when he goes inside with Sam, and as a birthday present, she gives him a framed photo of herself.
Queen! What a lesbian.
I had totally forgotten about that, because that's when I was like, oh, of course we've watched this movie before, because I remember last time when we tried to record, that was the part that we just lost it at. It's so fucking funny.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it does in that it's a stupid thing.
For your birthday, I'm going to send you a framed photo of myself.
I literally will put that on my mantle.
I know you will, and that's why I'm going to do it.
But you have to be wearing the same outfit that she is and in the same pose, and it has to be composed the exact same.
I can do that. I can do that for you.
Yeah, that is all I want.
And then they go in for what I'm assuming is their first kiss, because it is so awkward. And
ugh, lesbians.
And when they kiss each other, there's an electric spark that happens because apparently his father was actually an electric eel. I don't know. And it's so cringy that it enables her to then say the line. He's like, we'll try it again soon. She goes, maybe on your next birthday. That was so weird that I'm going to wait a full calendar year before we even try that again.
Because it fucking sucked. And she got shocked. She got hurt. She got hurt by their sexual interaction, and she didn't want to do it again. That's her right, Bess.
Don't make me like Sam for any reason. Don't make me feel like any of her actions are justified, because I hate this woman so much.
Oh, no. I mean, she's the worst.
So where were we at? We're entering into Act 2, which is where he, like, has a dream about returning to the ocean. It's all this foreshadowing. He wants to be back in the water. He's a fish person. That's the end of that.
Yeah, because he was reading Jess's book that Jess gave him as a present.
Oh, I would like to talk about that. So,
because you also don't think that Cody would know how to read, and you found it unrealistic?
No, but that's hilarious. No, I just wanted to talk about what a good friend Jess consistently is. Like, he doesn't even know this guy, but he's like, you know, we're talking about marine biology, and this is a classic, and maybe he'll like it. It's his birthday. Like, he gets invited last minute, and he still brings him a gift, and it's kind of thoughtful. I fucking love Jess.
Oh, Jess is fucking great. Yeah.
There will be more on that later. But anyway, so we move on to stuff is starting to, like, stick to Cody for some reason, and he... is super, super thirsty, which in actuality, he keeps drinking all this water, right? Because, like, oh, he's dehydrated. He's meant to be in the water. He's probably just adequately hydrated. You ever meet a 13-year-old? They don't know what water is.
That's true. I didn't drink water for 3 years.
All these skinny Instagram queens are like, yes, what's your schedule? What's your routine?
No, but it's like... This is when we start getting our second superhero origin story, which is Spider-Man. Which, why is he sticky? Why is he sticky?
Why is he sticky? Fish are slimy. Nothing sticks to them.
It makes no sense. But also, this came out 2 years before Spider-Man came out. So it's not like they were even trying to, like, copy a funny scene they saw.
No, but how long has Spider-Man been around, just as a concept?
Yeah, Spider-Man's been around for a long time, since, like, the 60s.
Exactly.
So, like, it's definitely, like, could have been taken from it. But, like, it wasn't the huge pop culture thing that the first Spider-Man movie made it.
I love, again, Jess is such a good friend because he is the only one that Cody really kind of confides in about this stuff. And Jess is like, look, I actually researched it and it's not that freaky. I think you're going to be fine. And he's really trying to, like, uplift him and make him not feel bad about it. Cody has not earned that friendship from him, and it makes me really sad for Jess.
Is this when Cody does the hand thing where he's, like, looking at his hands?
Yes. And then his mom starts looking at his hands.
Yeah. Starts looking at her hands like this. And then
that scene was so long. It was so long.
So long, but made it the only funny scene in the movie to me. I was, like, actually laughing because it was, but not because it was funny, because it was so fucking stupid. Because they gave, like, at least 30 seconds to Cody just looking at his hands, at the front of his hands and then the back of his hands, at the front of his hands and then the back of his hands. And then his mom's like, that's weird. What do my hands look like? Front of my hands, back of my hands. And then Dave Coulier comes in and he's like, front of my hands, back of my hands. These are hands. Y'all are weird. And that's how the scene ends. And it's nothing. It means nothing.
It's not even really comedic relief. It's more just like, you people are terrifying.
Yes.
Then he's starting to realize that something is probably definitely wrong with him. And my favorite thing is that he tells his parents, he's like, something is wrong. I don't feel well. These things are happening. And all because he doesn't have a fever, they're like, he's fine. If my kid was that persistent and felt that strongly, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna listen. These are dismissive parents. It's fucking rude.
Terrible parents who just found a kid on a boat and stole him.
And then later on, he, like, climbs up on the walls. It literally is kind of like the Spider-Man scene where he starts, like, the one hand.
Yes.
And it's very slow and the build is there. But then they come in and he's literally on the ceiling, like, something is definitely wrong. And then we find out that his mom doesn't like doctors and find out that she's anti-vax, find out she's that kind of mom, which is very realistic for her, I feel. And I don't think when this movie came out, it was as realistic as it probably is now. But I was just like, are you kidding me?
Because there's a way where that would have been, like, made sense and been fine, where she would, if she was like, oh, we found you on a boat, so we don't like taking you to doctors.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But that's not why. Like, because she brings a doctor in later to look at him. She's literally not afraid of it, other than the fact that she literally just doesn't like doctors, which means she is an actual anti-vaxxer.
Just a real question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You come in the room. You see your kid is on the ceiling.
Yeah.
What do you do? I would call it church.
See, I would definitely go the Spider-Man route. And I would be like, did you get bit by a spider? There's also, at one point, he's like, he has the scales on his hands, right?
Yeah.
Right, I think while this is all going on. And then he's like freaking out. And then he watches them disappear. And he's like, oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. The magical scales on your hand just disappeared magically. And oh, thank goodness. That is so much fucking weirder than, like, a weird scaly rash or, like, dry skin that looks scaly. No, you just had fucking magical scales appear and disappear on your skin, you motherfucker.
Like, that would make me so much more paranoid, because the entire time they were gone, I'd be like, when are they going to come back? As opposed to being like, oh, okay, wearing a sweatshirt today and covering my arms because this is wild.
Or, like, did I imagine them? Am I going crazy?
Yes.
Is this an episode? Like, no, so much worse that they appear and disappear. So much more concerning. So unbelievable.
Yeah.
That he's just like, meh.
After all of that, we go to Jess's house and go to his dad's, like, weird mermaid lair, because they're hanging out, working on their project, whatever. And I just want to know, why does the dad's lair have to be set up like a serial killer type dungeon?
it's so incongruous with the character that they create. Like, he's not that crazy until the end, but, like, it's just, like, I don't know.
Well, his character makes me so mad because when we first meet him, you're like, oh, cool. He's going to be the crazy guy, the only guy that, like, believes that mermaids really exist. And that would be great if we set him up. We set him up to believe that mermaids really exist. Maybe he is a little bit crazy. Maybe he is a little bit manic because he did see one. I'm doing the girl defined hands. This is what Kristen does when she's talking about Jesus. I'm so sorry. We set him up to be a little crazy. But then at the end, he has this shift and he wants to help Cody because he is a dad and he does care. And you see that human side of him. And he even has that really that scene with Jess where they start talking about mermaids and they start connecting, which you can tell they've never really done before. Mm-hmm. But so it's weird to me that his like layer is set up like that, like almost in a mad scientist-y type of way.
Yes.
And then, you know, towards the end, he goes also a little bit crazy because he's like, oh my God, she's real. Like his character never made any sense like the entire time.
He's both like a sympathetic villain character and unsympathetic all at once. And it's like, make up your mind, be consistent. And they can't.
Yeah, I never knew how to feel about him. But that's when Jess kind of starts like digging further into it. And it really reminded me of the meme where the guy's like, aliens, because Jess keeps being like, I keep coming back to mermaids. It doesn't make any sense, but I keep coming back to mermaids.
He's so unsubtle about it, too. Like, he has no qualms about the fact that his dad is obsessed with mermaids and he is asking all these questions. And like, the thought that his friend might get fucking murdered because of his innocent questions and bonding with his dad does not even cross his mind. And it's so funny.
Cody starts like talking about it with his parents and they all kind of come to accept that this is a thing that's happening. And that's when he's like, I want to know who my birth parents are. Maybe they know why this is happening to me. And it really pisses me off that his mom phrases it as, we got this incredible gift on our doorstep instead of, we stole you from the ocean.
We found you on our boat.
Which is what it is. They stole him from the sea.
I think this conversation is when I wrote, I don't remember what I meant by this note, but I wrote, okay, no, this is a metaphor for trans.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was going to be about like LGBTQ or like any of that stuff.
There were moments where I was like, is this what you're saying? And I don't think they were, but like, we can queer any narrative because all narratives are queer and that's fine.
Ultimately, I mean, it does fit under the overarching message of, oh, growing up, you may realize that you're not like, you know, everybody else. And that's OK. You're going to go on to do different things with your life. And that's OK. Maybe don't like wade out into the sea and never come back. But like that's the thing is like, it's.
Yeah, that's what being queer is you wade out into the sea and you never come back.
It's the sea of sexuality and everyone, there's so many different fish in the sea.
There's so many fish in the sea and they all have penises. And that's how the mom got pregnant.
And then what I don't understand also is why their plan, like their official plan as a family is just, oh, just don't get in the water. Like, oh, okay, don't drink water, don't brush your teeth, don't get in the shower. This kid technically shouldn't have even showered. That's disgusting. He's a 13-year-old boy.
Ugh. It's disgusting to think about. It's disgusting to think about. And also, it's being so mad because the rules are so undefined.
Yes.
Of like, why does only sometimes wet do the thing? That's like, sometimes wet don't do the thing, and sometimes wet do it.
I didn't understand that either, because logically you would think that almost any time he touched water, his body would be like, we're in the ocean. Like, how do your cells know?
Mm-hmm.
I love that he deals with all of his troubles by being like, I'm just going to go in the sea. Like, he just goes and he goes on these long swims. It reminds me of that John Mulaney quote that's like, ah, doesn't that make you want to just walk into the ocean?
Yeah.
But it's so funny because he's in the water and he sees his mom. He hasn't like met her yet, but he sees his mom. And then he, like, leaps out of the water and, like, soars, which is insane. Like, he already has a tail. He's also swimming at this point as though he already has a tail. His legs are together, and he's just kind of going like this. And I'm like,
why are
you doing...
Well, that's a type of swimming.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Do I just not know how to swim?
The butterfly is your feet together like that, and then both arms. So, like, it's a fine way of kicking.
Okay, it just feels like it'd be so much extra work. And I was like, why is he swimming like he already has a tail? That's weird.
It is, don't get me wrong, it is hilarious that they had him swimming like he already had a tail, because that's not how he swims.
Yeah.
Like, he does freestyle. We see that when he races.
That's not how you swim in the open ocean.
That too, right, exactly.
But you can't do that. You'll probably drown.
No. Yes, absolutely.
Then after he comes out of the water, Sam is just there. And she's upset because he's like, I can't tell you what I'm going through. And she says, you should be able to tell me anything. And I said, first of all, toxic. You held hands with him one time and then had a disaster of a kiss after you gave him a framed photo of yourself. But here's the thing. It is a very like 13-year-old way of thinking of like, oh, we're dating now. We should be able to share everything and we should have this bond. And it's like, no, honey. You don't just automatically get access to those feelings. You just don't automatically get all of that emotional consent.
T. What was the underwater locker room thing?
Are you talking about after the meet, which he's going to go to next?
Maybe.
And then Sean follows him into the locker room?
Anyways, my next note was that Disney letting these teenage boys running around in Speedos is degenerate and feels like it should not be on film.
It's irresponsible.
It feels irresponsible. I get that it was pre-9/11. I get it. But like,
you're not even allowed to put videos of anyone under the age of 18 in a swimsuit on YouTube because it will get flagged because people will put it on child porn websites.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't know. I get it was like a different time. It just like it feels so weird to see because it's not like the jammer like swim trunks that are like still skin tight, but like go down the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're like 2 inches long. It's like they're very small.
Yeah.
And it's just like it feels weird to have it on display in a movie like this. I don't know. And it feels weird even talking about it.
Okay, like we're at the swim meet. He sneaks out to go to the swim meet, and I want to know what his logic was here. Listen, I get that it's the state finals. I get that it's your ultimate goal or whatever, but
you are a fish.
You know you're gonna turn into a mermaid in front of this entire crowd. I listen, it is totally believable that a man would put his ego and his pride above any sort of logical thinking.
That's a sport
that I understand, kind of. Mm-hmm. But even still, mm-hmm. It's like what was your end game here? What were you gonna do?
It literally makes no sense. It's the stupidest thing, and you're like watching this train wreck about to happen because like, is he? Surely he won't. Surely he's not going to jump in the water. Surely, no. Surely he's not. What is happening? And then he jumps, and then he just does it. And then he swims way better than anyone, yeah. Inhumanly fast, clearly cheating, and wins. And then Sean calls him out. Sean's like, what did you do? Like, you're cheating. It's just dumb. I hate Cody. I hate him.
Because he literally is like, he's like pumping his fists in the air and his fins are so clearly visible. And first of all, there are so many witnesses. There are so many people at this swim meet. Are there typically that many people at a swim meet? And are they this hype about it? Because this was like,
yeah,
Texas football Friday Night Lights edition kind of crowd.
Kind of for state, it would be that many.
Really?
It would be.
Okay.
Yeah, for state. It's like big. I mean, it's like a sport, you know, sports. No, I mean, the swimming, other than the coach being in a fucking suit the whole time, didn't seem that unrealistic. It was simplified a lot, but it wasn't terribly adapted to the screen.
And that's when we see Jess's dad. Jess's dad is at the swim meet with binoculars, which, first of all, why did you bring those?
Freebie.
Why did you bring those to a children's swim meet? Children, they are children.
That's unrealistic. That is unrealistic.
He's a fucking predator.
And his child is not even on the team. That is what's fucking creepy.
His child wasn't even playing in the band like last time.
I will say that I don't find it realistic that parents of kids who aren't swimming would be there because it's a long ass day.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that was my logic. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, that part is actually unrealistic. Yeah. Like, you know, everyone's parents would probably be there for state, but no outside parent would show up to that. I say that in one of the scripts I'm writing has a bunch of people showing up, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, after that, his parents meet him outside. He's obviously in trouble for leaving and going to the meet and showing people that he has fucking fins. And back at the house, they're all kind of game planning what to do, and Sam comes in and does this stupid ass feint in the middle of the floor. And again, just pisses me off because he's like, you said I could trust you with anything. We're trusting you with this. You can't tell anyone, which I understand at this point because it's like, yeah, they would try to do like experiments on him and they don't even know what's going on. And she's just this raging bitch and is like, this is too weird for me. I'm out. And it's like,
she's literally terrible.
You literally don't deserve him. You don't deserve anything. She doesn't deserve rights. She's the one woman who doesn't deserve rights.
She's not a woman. I take her woman card away. She's a man. She's acting like a man.
She is acting like a man. I hate her.
She's like, listen, babe, you can trust me, babe. I can handle anything you tell me, babe. And then her wife is like, babe, I'm trans. And then she's like, that's fucking gross. Get the fuck out of my house. This is a trans narrative about people and relationships.
Yeah.
And it really is, when you think about it, wow.
I actually really did have that thought, especially when we get Sam's reaction and it is as
negative.
Yeah, negative and just kind of, she kind of blows it out of proportion. Like, she kind of is just being very dramatic, even though everyone in the house is being very calm and very reasonable. And that's also what made me feel like, ooh, this feels like when your partner comes out and you don't know how to handle it. So you just get really upset and then you block it out like it's not happening. Like, that's it really is what it made me think of.
Mm-hmm.
So after that happens, he goes back to the ocean because, again, this kid deals with all of his problems by just launching himself into the sea. And he actually meets his mom. He meets his mom and they do this weird E.T. like touch thing. I don't know. They're just bonded at this point.
And now he's pregnant.
And now he's pregnant. But the way she's looking at him, like knowing what we know about mermaids and how they would like supposedly like lure men to their deaths and stuff, it made me feel like she was going to kill and eat him.
She should have.
Because she's looking at him so intensely.
I would have preferred that if she had done that.
That's the alternate ending if you buy the DVD.
No one has the DVD. No one's ever seen the alternate ending.
In my head.
We all know it exists. We all know it exists, but no one has chosen to watch it because it's not worth it.
I guess he goes back to the house. I thought this was the end. It's not the end because he goes back to the house after he meets his mom. And, oh, yeah, because he needs someone to talk about it with. So he calls Sam. And I'm like, why are you reaching out to Sam? Why are you doing that? She has clearly proven that she doesn't want to be there for you. I was like, go find Jess. Jess is a real friend. Jess absolutely wants to hear about this experience you just had in the ocean. He's your real friend. And then Cody apologizes to Sam. Sorry, this is the only part of the movie that I had like genuine emotion about because it just made me so angry. And I was like, you have nothing to be sorry for. Exactly. Exactly.
She has gaslit him to hell.
It was such a bad example of how to be there for someone, how to support someone, and how to have a nice little symbiotic relationship. It was terrible. I absolutely hate it. My children will not watch this movie.
This is what the chicks were singing about when they sang that song.
Yeah, that's right. That song is a bop. It's really good.
It's like pretty good.
It's super amazing. But crap, how does this all, help me, how does this all happen? Because like, he's like officially turning into a merman and he's in pain and then Jess's dad has to help him.
But no, first his dad tries to catch the mom and she's like real dumb and kind of deserved to get caught because of what she was doing to try to like not get caught or whatever. It was dumb.
What was she doing?
And she was just like not swimming away correctly.
And you would think that that would be the one thing that she's amazing at. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, she was like swimming around the boat or something. I don't know. She was being dumb. Like, she's never like seen how a boat works before. It was dumb. I don't remember exactly because this movie's dumb. And as it got to the end, I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, she gets caught in the net.
Yes. His mom gets caught in Jess's dad's net. So Jess, who barely knows how to swim, jumps in with a knife to cut the rope so that she can get free.
Or does Cody get caught in the net freeing the mom?
No, Cody's in the boat.
Okay.
I think Cody's in the boat at this time. I don't know why. Because Jess's dad is trying to help Cody. Because he's like officially turning in. He's getting his tail. I think that's what he's getting. He's in the process of getting his tail.
Oh, that is what's happening. He's getting his tail and his dad's like, what's happening? And then he sees that he's a mermaid too. And then he stops helping.
Yeah.
Briefly.
Yeah.
I mean, and yeah.
His character makes no sense. The decisions he makes make
all
no
over
sense.
The board. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was my next note is like his dad has been creepy this whole time.
It's very dark.
It is very dark. It gets very dark when Jess's dad gets involved is the thing. Whereas the rest of it has been pretty stupid and bland this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also when I wrote Jess is the hero of this story, because he gets caught in the net and he almost starts drowning. So then it becomes a save Jess mission. And
yes.
He gets out. They're trying to do CPR, which also the mom is the one doing like the compressions. She is not touching him. She's doing little. It's like if you were to do CPR on a baby, you know. Oh, yeah. No, not even that. You got to pet the back when it's a baby. But if you're doing CPR on like a dog, I guess it was very gentle and very weird.
I thought you shook a baby if they were
no,
drowning.
You hold them like you put them on their stomach, like you hold them so that they're facing down and you like have to hit their back really, really hard.
Hmm. When are you supposed to shake a baby?
Never.
That doesn't sound right.
Cody decides to do the dumbest fucking thing he could ever do.
Oh my
so remember,
God.
He's had electricity in his fingertips this whole time. Why? Science doesn't know.
Sometimes.
Only sometimes.
This whole time, sometimes. Sometimes his mouth.
Sometimes his mouth. And my favorite part about this is that it happens in slow motion because it's so anticlimactic. But he like decides to shock Jess, which if you've seen any episode of Grey's Anatomy, you know you have to like calculate like, okay, what is like their height and weight? How much can I actually give them of this? How long have they been under? Like you have to know certain things before you decide to fucking, what's the word? What's the term?
Clear.
That's it. That's the medical term. And I'm like, you are in no way qualified to do this. You should have killed Jess.
Do you want to know what I think, how I think this movie was originally written?
Sure.
I think that this was originally written not with a hand shock, but with a kiss shock back to life.
And Jess was originally a girl, but then they decided.
No, I don't think Jess was originally a girl. Queer narrative, baby.
You're correct is the thing. You are correct is the thing.
Because when is the first time we see the electric shock?
Kiss.
When they kiss. And
oh
it's an
my
awkward
God.
Kiss. Do you see what I'm saying? Because that is literally what they set up for us. And
yes,
it's so close to it with him needing CPR. And like I guarantee that that was what was written. And then they got to film it and Disney was like, no.
And it would be such a nice juxtaposition.
Even if it wasn't a full romantic kiss, which it could have been. But like if it was him giving him CPR and shocking him through his mouth, they weren't going to let it happen. But I think it was written as a romantic kiss that was shocking back to life. And Disney cut it.
I absolutely agree. And I think that if that movie had like gone in that direction, it would have been so much more meaningful because you're so right. We have that first kiss and it goes so poorly that we kind of need that redemption kiss because he and Sam don't kiss again, do they? No, he goes into the sea with
nope.
His mom, relationship over. Yes, you're so right. Wow. And that's how the movie should have ended.
That's how the movie ends. Goodbye, guys.
In your heart, that's how it ends.
Yes, of course it is. Queer narrative.
My favorite thing is that the mermom just seductively stares at Cody's like human mom. Again, I don't know her name. And she is like, Cody, she loves you. I'm like, what? You got all of that from you don't know anything. You don't know anything.
It's fucking crazy. The moms in this movie suck ass. All the women, every female character in this movie sucks ass.
His parents also are so, like, his mom is sobbing. She's so emotional. And I'm like, he wasn't yours to begin with. You fucking stole him. You stole him. You stole him.
Yeah. You know who else was sobbing? Probably the mom for, like, the last 13 years because her son was stolen.
No, I don't know. Remember how I said at the beginning of the podcast that when Cody gets taken away by his new family, she's like, aw.
She does just kind of
okay.
Watch, yeah.
She just watches it happen.
Well, she's an animal, okay? She doesn't know what's happening.
Is she an animal?
Mermaids are animals. She can't talk.
She doesn't talk this whole time. You're very right. Why do the men get to talk and the women don't get to talk? Cody can talk.
Cody is trans, though.
Cody is trans. He has different rights.
Trans rights are mermaid rights.
So, was this worse or better than you remember? Because we do remember this. We have watched this now, twice.
It's definitely worse than I remember it being from childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it might be a little bit better than I remember it being when we tried to record this last time.
I agree. I think last time I was really overwhelmed with how bad it is. Because even when we've watched other DCOMs for the podcast, it hasn't been like, ah, shit, like, how did this even get made? But
yeah.
So watching it for the second time was definitely better because I feel like I was able to have more fun with it because I knew where we were headed. But It still is.
I still think this is the worst DCOM that we've watched so far.
The Poof Point?
I know that you are biased against the Poof Point, but I think the Poof Point had a much more solid narrative than this.
I don't know. I remember having a lot of problems with it.
I don't know. This is rough.
Okay, so we got to like wrap up this episode somehow. Oh, we have to pick our next movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is all you.
We haven't done this in so long. I literally was like, what do we do now? Okay, what are you hoping that our next movie is?
Xenon. I want Xenon so bad.
Okay.
Xenon, I would take Cheetah Girls.
You want to do a trilogy. I know you've wanted to do a trilogy this whole time.
I want to do a trilogy.
All right. We have 96 movies left. I'm wondering if we need to update this list because I don't know if any have come out since we've made the list.
I don't know. We'll check, but...
Okay. We got number 68, which is Johnny Capahala back on board.
I'm down with that.
Which is a sequel, isn't it?
Oh, is that the sequel to Johnny Tsunami?
It's not a trilogy, but it is a duology.
I'll take that. No, yeah, I'll take that. So then next week is Johnny Tsunami.
Okay, cool. So yeah, next week is Johnny Tsunami, which I've never seen before.
Fun.
Which is weird because I feel like it's like everyone remembers that movie.
It's like sporty. It's fun.
This is really, rewatching this movie is just going to make us so upset that we cannot go on a vacation right now. And it's going to make us so upset that we can't go to the beach.
Girl, I don't know, though. I have no interest in going on vacation near a bunch of freaks who knows where they've been.
We promise we'll be back next week. We promise. We're actually back on our ish and we're not super depressed about being in quarantine anymore. And yeah.
Well, don't get crazy. I mean,
if you guys want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter at Worse Podcast, WORSE. And we are on Instagram at Worse Than You Remember.
How do we
That's literally it. You always.
Is that literally it? We just say goodbye?
No, literally what you do every single time is I say bye and you say, okay, so we're going to start the podcast now. That's what you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's fun. All right. Let's do that. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. I did that. I remember that.
Yeah, you do that.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.